Good morning. Today the scripture will be coming from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and for the one who seeks shall find. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Ask, and it will be given you. What if I don't like my gift? Can I exchange it or return it? Seek, and you will find. How do I know what to look for? Why does everything have to be so mysterious and hidden? Knock, and it will be opened to you. Wait a minute, what's behind the door? What will I be facing when it is shown to me? If I decide to go in, will I be stuck in a place that will be awkward and difficult to escape? When I was in high school in New Orleans, I remember going to youth camp and singing these words, "Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open, ask and it shall be given, and the love come a-trickling down." Well, I liked that chorus. The words sounded simple and comforting. My life was very complex and fragmented. I wanted protection and consolation. The message I received from these words gave me a sense of security. I believed that if I felt pain or anxiety or fear, all I had to do was to thank God, and miraculously or magically, everything would become okay and good. Since then, my life has become more complex and at least as fragmented. I still want the security that those words seem to offer. But I've learned that words are very rich in meaning. God's word involves more than a miraculous numbness to pain. It includes thinking, feeling, doing, giving, taking, being, and becoming. The peace offered by God does not depend on secure words or answers. For answers are usually followed by more questions. God's word demands a struggle through paradox. Struggle is not necessarily something negative. It is through this struggle that we gain new perspectives and we learn to live. In high school, I thought I could use God to take care of my problems. I don't think God intends to be manipulated. If I ask for something, God is not spellbound to give to me. However, God is accessible. I can ask, but I need to be willing to receive. If I seek, I need to be willing to find. And if I knock and the door is open, I need to be willing to go in. This asking and seeking business is risky. It seems to demand a response. Sometimes we don't even ask for anything, and we still have to respond. In fact, most of our gifts from God are offered to us without our request. The greatest gift, of course, is love. God loves us. We are called by God's love. We are called to love God and to love one another. Well, what does it mean for God to love us? God initiates a relationship with each of us. A relationship which assumes a response of giving and receiving. God offers us the gift of love. So let God love me. That sounds very comforting and secure, very warm. Well, it is, but there's more. If someone gives a gift to me, I'm faced with a decision to accept or to reject the gift. Obviously, if God offers me love, the greatest gift, I'm going to receive it, right? Right. That would make sense. But I don't make sense. I don't always receive what is offered to me. I don't always refuse, but I almost always hesitate. Why am I so difficult? Why is it so hard for me to receive? What does receiving involve? Shouldn't receiving be fun? When I receive gifts at a birthday party, I like receiving. There's joy in receiving. So why is it so difficult? Well, for me, the worst part about receiving is that I become dependent upon someone else who will give to me. Well, I've had years of training to know that nothing is free. If someone gives to me, I better watch out, because then I'm going to owe somebody something. The giver then has control over me. Well, I am a smart woman. I have learned to avoid such dependence. I have learned to protect myself and to provide for myself. I have taken control of my life. I am independent. I don't have to receive from anyone, or do I? Actually, there's nothing wrong with my independence or with my ability to take care of myself. These are some of my peculiar strengths. God gave me a brain, some talents to develop, and a sense of responsibility for myself. However, strengths sometimes become weaknesses. This is another part of the paradox of life. My strong sense of independence can get in the way of giving and receiving in God's call to love. I am responsible, but I am not God. I am to respond to God's initiative, whether that is in giving or in receiving. Now, since I'm afraid to receive, I stay at a distance to avoid such a threat. The most clever way that I have found to keep my distance is to become the giver instead of the receiver. Just step right in and try to play God. I keep the control of my gifts. I can choose to whom to give my gifts. People like me, and they think I'm nice because I'm willing to give. I feel good because I think I'm making other people happy. I feel humble because I am serving. This leads to pride in my humility. Well, such servanthood is not what Jesus showed us. Jesus was willing to give and to receive. My camouflage as the giver hides my fear of and my need to receive. As a giver, my biggest risk is rejection. However, with my keen perception and my calculated gift, I rarely risk giving a gift that I'm not reasonably sure will be received. As such a giver, I put others in awkward situations. The receivers are less vulnerable. They don't know exactly what is being offered. They can choose to reject the gift, but they cannot choose to be chosen. As the giver, I choose how much to offer. The receiver cannot receive more than what is offered. Okay, so giving and receiving are complex. What's the point? I think giving and receiving are fundamental to call. All of us have come to seminary to learn to give, to serve, and to minister. Some of us have come here with specific ministries in mind. Others of us come consciously seeking a place of ministry. Life at seminary is a life of struggle. Life in the ministry is a constant struggle between what is to be offered by us and what is to be received. At seminary, we are asked to come to terms with our sense of call. We feel called by God, and we are trying to respond. We find that the gifts which God has given to us are not necessarily easy to receive. Sometimes we find that the gifts we think we have to offer are not needed or wanted. Well, seminary students are not the only ones who struggle. This summer, I talked to a missionary in Hong Kong. He came to Hong Kong to serve the Lord, but he found himself very frustrated and confused. Hong Kong is very modern and westernized. The Chinese Baptists are well organized and minister well to the people of Hong Kong. This missionary was feeling very much like an intruder, a foreigner. As he talked to me, he became curious about my life as an MK, or a missionary kid, After all, I had 23 years of missionary experience over him. He wanted to know how I felt about my parents' decision to be medical missionaries in Hong Kong. He was concerned for his own children and how they might feel later on. He wondered how this frustrating missionary life of his would affect his children. So I explained that I had never understood why my parents were missionaries. As far as I was concerned, they were ordinary people. After all, I knew lots of missionaries. Some of them I liked and some I didn't like. It has been a struggle for me to understand why my parents chose to be missionaries. I asked my parents individually why they came to Hong Kong. Each of them replied, "Call." Well, I grew to trust my parents this summer, so I decided to trust that somehow they were called by God to come to Hong Kong. It was still something I could not understand. What did my parents have that was so great to offer the 5 million Chinese? Why bring Western religion and culture to them? I told this missionary that I did not understand why, but that my parents were called to Hong Kong. He immediately added, almost as if he suddenly remembered, "Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm here." He seemed relieved that there was a reason beyond his control for his frustrating life of sacrifice in Hong Kong. His response sounded like an excuse to me. His call seemed to justify his being in Hong Kong, even if it might destroy his family, and even if he felt that he was not needed. Suddenly, he was confident about his calling to help the needy and to serve, even though he still did not know who the needy might be, nor did he know how he might serve. I sensed all of this in a moment, and I replied, "Do you have to be called by what you have to offer? Couldn't you have been called by what you need to receive?" As I responded to the missionary, I realized that I was talking to myself. I needed to hear this extra dimension of call and ministry. We are called by our strength and by what God has given us to offer to others. We can do a lot of good, and we have much to offer. However, we are also called by what we often consider weaknesses. We are called by what we need and by what we can receive from God and others. We are called to serve and to receive. Often, it is much more difficult to receive. We know that we are not God, but when we take on the role of minister, others expect us to be God, and we begin to believe that we must try to be God. We are told to strive for perfection, and yet to recognize our sinfulness. Christianity is full of paradoxes. We are told to save life is to lose it, that the first shall be last. I think that there is such a paradox in our call. We are called to a response. We may accept or reject God's call. Most of us have accepted a call to serve. In order to serve, we need to be able to receive as well. If we ignore our needs and are not aware of the difficulty of receiving, we will be insensitive as we try to serve. We will expect others to receive from us, and we'll be blind to our inability to receive from them. God commands us to love. We are not to respond as slaves who fear and dread the master, nor as competitors who must win the race. We are called to balance what we can offer with what we need to receive. We are called to listen to what God offers and to what God wants to receive from us. Those of us who recognize the gifts being offered have a responsibility to respond. As Letty Russell has noted, we have the freedom to respond. Such freedom is costly. It demands growth, change, open-endedness, vulnerability, faith. It is not easy for me to respond with acceptance and to be faithful. The traditional ways do not always apply to my situation. I have to find new ways to cope, new ways to listen to God's call, and new ways to respond. I must find new ways to receive and to express the hope and the love God offers. God's word and God's gift become ever richer. The access to God is liberating. It reveals God's acceptance of us. We may not receive what we thought we were asking for. Sometimes we may feel cheated. We may feel deprived. The gifts of God are mysterious. The mystery is revealed in different ways. Some of the mystery is revealed in the Bible through stories of people who struggle with a desire to know God and who attempt to understand their call. Sarah, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Mary doubted, struggled, and sometimes misunderstood the direction of God's call. God called each one differently. We are called differently, and we're called to different ministries. God asks, God calls us to receive God's love and to love. Perhaps receiving God's call is not as simple as it first seems. Receiving becomes a part of serving. This day of unhealthy power struggle around the world demands new perspectives which affirm the gifts and purposes of God by affirming humanity. I hope that we will learn to be sensitive to our needs in a way that enables us to be sensitive to those whom we teach and lead and serve. I am thankful for God's gifts. I am thankful that we can approach God. I am thankful that we can receive and grow. I am thankful that we can risk accepting, living, and loving. I am thankful that we are included in God's calling to serve and to receive. Just as a young missionary knew that he was called and yet had to struggle, perhaps we must struggle too. Perhaps we, like him, are called to a new perspective which affirms giving and receiving in our response to God.
Notice in the indented section, there's a refrain. The first line of this refrain is going to be your response. I'll sing it first and you sing it after me.
Faithful Lord, with thee abide, I shall follow where you guide.
Join me. Of the refrain we'll be using this morning. I'll sing it first at the end of each stanza, then you repeat just as we did.
Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. My daily labor to pursue the only thee.
Thank you.
Will you stand with me for prayer? Creator God, we praise your holy name. Join our hearts in the celebration we express and our thanksgiving for your love. Bless us with the challenge of your presence and guide us as we live the gift of life to which you have called us. Faithful Lord, with us abide. We shall follow where you guide. In the name of God our parent, Jesus the Son, and the holy presence of his Spirit, we pray. Amen.